Welcome. I'm glad you're here this morning. And I can't believe we're already, week nine, I think, of Slow Church already. We are just rolling through the book. I was talking to Lois this morning. She was talking to me and Debbie, and she's been talking about how much she has enjoyed the book and just some of the ideas that it sparked for her. So my prayer for you is that the book is doing the same. And not that you would just wholeheartedly agree with everything, but that it would just be a conversation starter. Like, ooh, here's a new perspective. Here's something about church, about spirituality that I hadn't thought about before. And that's the whole point of it. It warms my heart to hear that, and I hope that's been your experience as well. And we're winding down, so we only got 3 weeks left, and then we're going to move into the Advent, into the Christmas season. I don't know what happened to 2021. I have no idea, like, where did it go? As a board, we're starting to talk a bit about next year, and I said, hey, we're going to be doing 2021 planning. And I sent the email out, and then afterwards, I'm like, wait a second. Like, I reread it. I was like, whoa. Wait, we're into 2022. For me, this just kind of feels like a lost year. And I'll talk about that at some point, because I'm sure we all experienced that time vortex at some point in life. And this year has taught me, I don't know what it's taught me yet, because when you're in the middle of something, it's really hard to pull those lessons out of it. But I guarantee you, moving forward, I probably have about 5 years worth of sermon material just from this year and everything that has, I guess I should just say, gone wrong. But I don't want to talk about things going wrong, because what I want to talk about this morning is gratitude. Because it's so easy in life to focus on the things that are going wrong. It's so easy in life to look at all the things that are blowing up in your face, the things that didn't go the way in which you had envisioned. I guarantee you, if I were to tell you, hey, make a list of all the things in 2021 that didn't go your way, you'd be filling pages, notebooks. Then if we were to broaden it to, hey, throughout your entire life, what are the disappointments, the negative things that you've experienced? We'd have notebook after notebook, because that's part of the human experience. That's part of life. We have these plans, these dreams, these hopes. There's a way in which things are supposed to go, and then things don't go that way. Or you have that conversation that just sets you off in the morning, and the rest of your day is just one, you're battling the emotions. You're trying to be positive, but there's that conversation or the coffee that spilled on your lap in the car to work that morning, and or they didn't play your favorite song on the radio, or too much traffic, whatever it is, and it's very easy to be caught in this loop of negativity throughout your entire day, which then bleeds over into every single conversation, every interaction. So let's talk about the opposite of that, and let's talk about gratitude. First, let's begin with a definition. And it's a definition by Webster's Dictionary. And, you know, gratitude's a word that you learn from a really young age. But I never understood, or I never took the time to look at, I never read through the dictionary. Maybe some of you did that. But I never took the time to look at, okay, what's the actual definition of gratitude? And when I came across it, I was like, ooh, that's really, really good. So here's the definition of gratitude according to Mr. Webster. Acknowledgement of having received something good from another. Now, this definition strikes me as profound for two reasons. Number one, because it says that what it tells me is gratitude is an intentional practice. Notice right there, the acknowledgement of having received. We receive good things all the time. The breath that you just took, that's a really good thing. If you didn't receive that breath, you'd be dead. So I think we can all acknowledge that the breath, the fact that you woke up this morning, that you could drive in a car. I mean, how many people around the world don't have access to a car? Clean water. You had hot water. My guess is you took a shower this morning. I noticed this side of the room, you guys smell okay. This side, we'll kind of, you know, talk about that later. All the things that happen that are good, maybe you filled your bellies this morning, you had some coffee, you had some food, the fresh air, you went for a walk this morning, the sun is shining. All those things, well, we need to intentionally take the time to appreciate them, to acknowledge, ooh, what I've been given is a gift, and not everyone has been given this gift. So the first thing about gratitude is that it's an intentional practice, and it takes awareness. Now, the topic of this series is slow church. Notice that word, slow. when you're moving through life at super speed, one of the things that quickly goes is your awareness to what's happening to you. So maybe we could say that when we're moving so fast, when we're filling our calendars, when there's so much noise and so much busyness, one of the first things that goes is the awareness of the gifts that we receive along the way. And I know sometimes you go through a really difficult season in life and it's hard to acknowledge that anything good is coming your way. But again, let's go back to your breath. It's a gift, your life. It is a gift. And so it takes slowing down, pausing, reflecting, being still, not moving so fast so we can be aware of the goodness that's freely coming our way. Notice the definition? Oh, it doesn't mention gift, but I'll throw in a gift, something good, because oftentimes it's freely given to you. Now, let's look at Philippians, and Philippians is one of my favorite books in the Bible. The reason why is because Philippians is a book about joy. How many of you could use a little bit more joy in your life? I think joy is something that if someone's like, hey, you want a little more joy? No one's going to say, no, I got enough of that. We're all going to be like, yeah, bring it. Like, we could be at a 7 on the meter, and we'll crank it up to an 8, to a 9, to a 12. If we can overfill our joy meter, it's like the Grinch's heart. He's looking down, and then all of a sudden, joy fills his heart, and they have a picture of his heart, and it just grows. I forget what it is, 10 times the size of what it is, and it breaks through that picture frame that it's caught in. I mean, we could all use joy like that in our lives, could we not? And so Philippians is a book about joy. And what's really interesting about Philippians is let's do Bible 101 this morning. So any idea who wrote Philippians? Okay, Paul, yes. All right, you all, passing colors, y'all get stars on the way out because I heard Paul from like everyone. You're like, yeah. Where did Paul write Philippians? In jail, yes. Jail and joy. I don't get it. If I were in jail, never spent any time in jail, if I were behind bars, joy is not something that I'm automatically going to think about. If I'm being confined, I can't go anywhere, I can't do what I want to do. And this is one of Paul's last letters. He knows the end is coming. He knows his life is coming to a close. And yet this book or this letter that he writes is all about joy. And here's what Paul says about joy in Philippians. This is Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Basically, he's like, thanks for thinking of me, guys. You renewed your concern. For a while, I was getting a little bit worried that you'd forgotten about me. But now I'm rejoiced again that you have renewed your concern, that you're worried about what's going on with me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I think he's kind of giving them a break a little bit here. He's like, all right. Could have brought me flowers or my favorite meal. Could have brought me Chipotle in jail. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I mean, this is a pretty popular verse, is it not? I learned to be content. I mean, many people have this maybe on a note card, on their car, on a mirror. It's kind of one of the catchphrases. I've learned to be content. When you think about it, how difficult is it to be content in all circumstances? I struggle with that. Anyone else? Or are you like, yeah, I'm content no matter what the situation? No. That coffee spills. You have that fight. Content. Wow, Paul, how'd you do that? I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry. I don't know about you, but if I'm hungry, I am not content. whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Paul's learned the secret of being content. Sometimes he's been in need, and if you know anything about Paul's life, he's experienced both extremes. He's had plenty, excess. He's had everything you could ever want and more, and then he's gone hungry. He's been homeless. He's spent time in jail. He's been persecuted. And he says, I have learned. Now notice this. I've learned the secret. It doesn't come naturally. I have learned. What this implies is that it takes time. It takes practice. It doesn't come overnight. It's a secret that he has stumbled upon throughout his entire, or throughout the journey of his life. Let's go one more slide. So I would argue this, gratitude, the practice of gratitude, being grateful, is the secret of being, of having joy or being content in all circumstances. At the heart of joy, at the heart of learning to be content, is a heart or a posture of gratitude, acknowledgement of all the good that we have received right now and in the past moments of life. Let's flip forward. So I talked about all of this, but Paul, the theme here, joy, it's a theme of thankfulness, a theme of gratitude. See, Paul is acutely aware, I would argue, of all that he has received, and it's led to a heart of joy. Let's flip forward one more slide. So Paul's learned that there's a joy, that there's joy to be discovered in every moment. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way. Sometimes you need to peel back a couple of layers. Sometimes you need to sit with it for a while. You need to really be slow and still. But Paul is saying, I have learned to discover the joy, the gift in every moment. Sometimes it's hidden, but he's learned the secret. And what he's discovered is that what you focus on, what you pay attention to, it matters greatly. Remember how we started? We started talking about negativity, and you can focus on negativity, and we all know plenty of people that focus on the negative. I had a friend. I wasn't going to share this story, so don't tell this story to anyone, but it just popped up. I had a friend who we used to spend a good amount of time together, and then life changed for me. I moved, I got married, I had a couple of kids. So the time with this friend, it went from whatever it happened to be down, like it shrunk. You know how that happens when you have other things that are pressing on you, and it's the time that you used to have, like when things were simple and then life gets a little more complicated, when you could just hang out at 7-Eleven, you could just go off, do whatever you wanted to do. Well, anyway, so all that time kind of shrunk because I had more responsibility and I didn't live as close to this friend as I used to. So it took a lot more planning. So every now and again, we would still get together, we'd have lunch. And whenever we had lunch, the entire time we were having lunch, this person would complain to me about how we never saw each other anymore and how we wouldn't hang out anymore. And that'd be the entirety of the 2 hours that we'd have. So eventually I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. Like, and I would say, I'm like, hey, I understand this has happened. I don't live as close. I have a couple of kids. And let's enjoy the moment that we have right now. Let's enjoy the lunch and the time, the conversation that we have right now. But there was so much negativity in those 2 hours, whatever the time was, that I said, I just can't do it anymore because I don't want the negative. Like, you ever leave someone who's a very negative person, you leave them and you just like feel like there's negative energy all around you. What you focus on, what you surround yourself, it deeply, deeply matters. We could have had a great lunch, but unfortunately it was just weighed down with negativity. But if there was joy in what we get, the experience, the conversation we're having, I guarantee you things would have gone completely different. And I would have left there being like, ooh, that was fun. I can't wait to do it again versus, ooh, that wasn't fun. I can't wait to not do that again. So let's go one more slide. And I would say this about gratitude. Gratitude allows you to be here in the moment. Not focused on the past and the good that was in the past. Not focused to some point in the future, wishing for a future moment when everything is going to go the way in which it's supposed to go. But gratitude allows you to actually be present in every moment, which is something I think we all want, to live life right where you find yourself rather than looking back at the past or forward into the future. So gratitude, as I said, it's an intentional, conscious practice. And I want to give you 5 ways to practice gratitude. So here's your homework for this week. I'm going to give you 5 different ways to practice gratitude. Choose one of them. And then I want us to come back next week, a week from now, 7 days from now, and I want you to report back on how your intentional practice of gratitude went. All right, we all good with that? Can we do that? So I'm going to give you five options, multiple choice, five. Can we do one of them this week? All right, awesome. Most people are nodding. The rest of you are like, I'm not going to be here next Sunday. All right, first way, daily list your blessings. I came across this article in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. There was a study that they performed, and the participants were divided into three different groups. The first group was said, hey, I want you to reflect every single day. I want you to reflect on what you're grateful for. So write it down, speak it to someone else, record it, whatever you need to do. Reflect on all the things that you're grateful for. Second group, give an objective report of your day. Sounds great, right? Quite stimulating. At the end of the day, just record, okay, breakfast, drove to work or brushed teeth, hopefully that goes before there, you know, lunch, talked to Susie, watched, I don't know, what are we watching on TV these days? Anyone watch Red Notice, the new Netflix movie? We got about halfway through and we both looked at each other, we're like, kind of boring. So, you know, we started watching the Home Alone remake. Anyone else? You watched that one yet? I looked it up right when we started. I'm like, well, let's see if this 3.6 out of 10, that's the numeric count. And Steph, like, about 20 minutes into it, she's like, ooh, I actually kind of like it. I don't care that I only got 3.6 out of 10. So an objective report, just the things, not any emotion attached to it. And the third group, what were the frustrations, the negative things that happened to you that day? You want to take a guess as to which group was the happiest at the end of this study? Right? Of course. The people who wrote down all the things that they were grateful for. People who focused on the things, the goodness, the gifts that came their way that week or however long the study went on for. So for this week, the first practice, keep a gratitude journal. Keep it on your phone, handwrite it out, beginning of every day or at the end of it. So maybe you want to do it in the beginning of the day so you enter your day filled with gratitude, or maybe you want to do it at the end of the day so you fall asleep filled with gratitude. But just keep a journal, not an objective report, right? But a journal of all the things that you are grateful for this week. And what happens is, ever so subtly, there will become this shift from I deserve, which is oftentimes how our culture responds to things. So we've been in the middle of a home renovation, and we've had to order some different items for the home. And they're giving you, I mean, the date in which the things are going to get to your house. Yeah, this will be here in March. Yeah, you'll get that next July. Oh, hey, your fan's in, but the down rod is on some ship in California right now. It's not coming until January. And as a culture, we want it now. Like, I get annoyed when, like, your fan's here, but not the down rod, so you can't essentially put your fan in yet, and it's going to come in January. I was annoyed because we think we deserve it right here, right now, in this moment. It's just how we've been conditioned to believe in our culture. When you start focusing on gratitude, there is this subtle shift from I deserve this right now to, woo, look at what I've received. Look at all that I've been given. Think about that. I deserve and everything that brings with it versus, whoo, look at the gifts that I've been given. So the first practice, to keep a gratitude journal, daily list your blessings. Okay, second, I love this one. This is something that the author Michael Yankowski, he termed this gratigraphs. And gratigraphs is when you write a handwritten letter of gratitude to someone. So someone does something really nice for you. They knit you a Christmas sweater, and then they hand it to you. A gratigraph is taking the time to write a letter by hand and then to put it in the mail to someone. You ever, like, you get actual mail? You ever notice that? Like, you go into your mailbox, and then you sort through, and you have all the junk mail or the bills and all, but then, ooh, what's this? A handwritten letter? Ooh, I haven't gotten one of these in months. So a gratigraph is taking the time to write someone a note of thanks, a note of appreciation, and then sending it in the mail. Or maybe if you see them throughout the week, it's a coworker, handing it to them. a handwritten note of gratitude. Because I think there's the power. There's power in when you write something down and you're actually expressing that which is within you, and now you're writing it and you're handing it to someone else. In the back of my filing cabinet in my office, I have a folder that is filled with all the notes, the thank you notes, the notes of gratitude, the notes that you all gave me for Pastor Appreciation Month, the cards that you gave me. I put those in the folder as well, so thank you very much. The handwritten notes, right? And I keep them in a folder, and if I'm ever having a down day, sometimes I'll just pull that folder out and I'll just read through those cards. And it keeps me going. I mean, there's power when someone takes the time to write a note of appreciation, a note of thanks. Yeah, go for it. You can't do that here. It's my sermon. No. It's true. Did you hear that? She said it, whatever you write down, 44% more likely to remember the thing that you wrote down. So basically what you're doing when you're writing a note of thanks, it's like you're training your brain to focus on gratitude. So we're pushing aside the negativity and we're filling ourselves with gratitude, with joy. So the first one, gratitude journal. The second one, gratigraphs, and send the letter and see how you feel as you put it in the mail. Third, I forgot that I put these in here. Okay, notice this, and I'm going to do a quick rundown here. Here's how Paul begins his letters most of the time. Philippians, I thank my God every time I remember you. We'll go to the next one. For this reason, ever since I heard about you, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. This is Ephesians 1. The other one was Philippians 1. One more. 1 Thessalonians, we always thank God for you, for all of you, and we continually mention you in our prayers. Next one. 1 Corinthians, I always thank my... Notice this. Is there a theme that we're picking up on? Paul, I learned the secret. All these letters, they came basically before Philippians, one of the last letters Paul wrote. Paul is training himself to be a person of gratitude. A person of a prayer. I thank God every... I mean, prayer. When you think about prayer, think about saying a blessing before our meal. I love this. What I learned is you don't say a prayer. So in the Jewish religion, you don't say a prayer asking God to bless the food because that's senseless. The food is already blessed. What you're doing is you are thanking God for the blessing that you've received, the blessing of food. So when we say a prayer before we eat, it's that awareness, the acknowledgement. God, thank you that I have food. Well, you want to say more? What's really interesting is all of these studies, all the things that people are finding, like what Camilla just mentioned again, I mean, ancient wisdom at work right here. And now we just kind of have the words and the tools to figure it out, but we've been wired a certain way. God's constructed the body, all of us, to interact and to be a certain way. And now the science is like, hey, by the way, we're like, yeah, a couple thousand years ago, and now we're just kind of putting words to what we've always known. Do I have one more? 1 Corinthians 4, 1? Okay, that's it. So Paul's been training himself. Okay, here's a third way. And you can do this in the shower. You can do this in the car. You can do this with your family. Whatever you want to do. Sing to worship. That's why we corporately sing together every single Sunday. I purposely picked out songs of thanks, songs of gratitude this week. Because again, you're voicing it. You're singing it out loud. You're putting words to that which is in here. And sometimes you don't quite have the words. And then an artist puts words to it. And you're like, ooh. I love how that poet just kind of put everything together. And when we're all singing together, we're all expressing gratitude and thanks together. We're acknowledging the gifts, the goodness that's come our way. So, gratitude journal, gratigraphs, sing or worship. Fourth is celebration. Celebration, where we just celebrate life. Whenever we started Awaken, we said, hey, we want to have tons of parties, and COVID kind of messed some of that up a little bit, but we said we want to have parties, we want to celebrate because, Well, you don't need a reason to celebrate. I've heard people who sometimes they just throw parties for the heck of it. Because my sister one time when we were in college, she wanted to have a party. And we're like, well, you have to have a theme for a party. So she's like, fine, we're going to have the Michael Jackson black and white party. And everyone dressed in black and white. And we just played Michael Jackson music for the entire night. And it was great. We had a blast. No, we put a theme just because, well, we needed to. But celebrate. And we're actually working on a Christmas party. So I'm in the middle of some of those details right now. Hopefully by the newsletter tomorrow, there will be a few more details of that one. So stay tuned. So throw a party this week. All right, if you're like, yeah, those things are too small, then okay, go big and throw yourself a party and invite whoever you want to invite to the party. And then fifth, Junior can have a cold exposure party with Gina. You know, we can, whatever we want to do here. So celebrate. And then a final reason or a final way to practice gratitude. And I was talking with Debbie and Ted this morning. We're trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to get back to Eucharist because we haven't done it in a while. So we came up with a way, so we will practice Eucharist together. We will celebrate Eucharist communion together as a church in the next 1 or 2 weeks here. But you can also do this at home. And I think what sometimes happens is we think, well, we can only celebrate communion at church on a Sunday morning. No. Why? I heard of people who, whenever there's a fight in the home, well, in order to reconcile, they get some bread, they get some wine or grape juice, whatever you need, and they put it at the table. And whether it's a husband and a wife or if it's a family, together they'll partake of communion together because it's a way of saying grace covers this. And there's been a fight. There's been some rupture in a relationship. So let's just celebrate the reconciliation of Christ. Let's celebrate the reconciliation that's come our way because of Jesus. So thanks is the word Eucharisteo, which shows up 38 times in the New Testament, which is quite a bit, is it not? Eu means good, charis means gift. When Paul says thanks, he's talking about the good gift of Jesus. Because for Paul, that's what it was all about. For us here at Awaken, we come together, we gather because of the good gift of Jesus. And we want to remember that together as a community, as a family. So we will celebrate Eucharist. We are going to bring it back because it has been far too long. So stay tuned for next week or maybe the following one. We'll see. And together we will remember and we will celebrate the good gift of Jesus that brings grace and forgiveness and salvation and new life to us. So this week, 5 ways to practice gratitude. And celebrate Eucharist. You can celebrate it at community group on Wednesday. All right, just throwing it out there. Maybe I'm going to put it in the questions. I'm not going to even give you a choice. I'm going to say, celebrate Eucharist. So we have gratitude journal, gratigraphs, worship, celebrate. Again, in your car, in your shower, whatever works. No judgment. Fourth would be, oh my goodness, I like wrote these myself. No, Eucharist was 5, and 4 was, come on, help me out here. Celebration. Oh my, how'd I forget that one? It's like the best one. No, they're all good. So we all know which one we're going to try, and try multiple ones. Next week, we'll report back. All right, any thoughts on gratitude? God, we thank you for all that you have given us, all the gifts, all the blessings that have come our way. And God, I pray that we would be a grateful people. God, that we would be people of gratitude. I ask that we would just be filled with your Spirit this week, filled with the joy that only you can give this week as we practice gratitude in our lives. And as Paul has said, God, that he's learned the secret of being content. God, that he has found joy in every circumstance. I pray that we would also discover that secret as well. And that would be the lens, that would be the filter through which we engage this life. So may our hearts be overfilled with gratitude for you and for all that you have freely given to us this week. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.